there was a service at the funeral to commission, amongst others, new pioneer ministers. After the service, a visitor to the cathedral picked up one of the service sheets, and with a look of puzzlement on his face, he asked, "What the heck is a pioneer minister? Is it a rebranding of an existing job?" I'm afraid we struggled to give him a clear answer. Mind you, I think he was already convinced in his own mind that, to quote, "It's a new fad. It'll disappear like all the others." I'm not so sure about that. Now, a question for you. What was special about last Thursday? Well,
I can't remember.
It was the feast day of Saint Kentigern.
Of course.
Judging by your expression on most of your face, you should have recognised the name. Perhaps you know him better as Saint Mungo. Mungo was one of those Celtic missionaries bringing the word of God to these islands. His early life could not have been particularly easy. He came from what we would now call a single parent family. His grandfather, a local king, not a very nice one I don't think, was so incensed that his unmarried daughter was pregnant that he had her thrown from the heights of Trepane Law. And miraculously, both she and the unborn child survived. Mungo was brought up by another saint, Saint Serf, who was ministering to the Picts. So it's no surprise that Mungo himself became a missionary, building his church where Glasgow Cathedral now stands. He worked there for some 13 years, before being forced to move on by the hostility of another of the local kings. He moved via Cumbria to Wales, staying for a time with St David, and you can guess where that was at. He even found time to go on a pilgrimage to Rome. He was then invited back to Strathclyde, evangelising the district of Galloway, before finally returning to Glasgow, where a large community grew up around him, which actually formed the basis of the modern city of Glasgow. It was during this time that he was visited by another saint, St. Columba. You know, there do seem to have been an awful lot of saints knocking about in that day. Now, the early Celtic missionaries like Mungo had all answered God's call to spread his word, to tell the good news of the gospel. They weren't interested in building churches. They were intent on introducing people to God, creating a community that lived in their lives according to Christ's teaching. In fact, they were carrying on the traditions of the prophets of the Old Testament. We bring you to our first reading tonight, the one from the book of Samuel. We hear how Samuel was called to follow God. The story tells us that while Samuel was serving Eli, God called to him in the night. But Samuel didn't know God. He didn't know who was calling him. He thought it was his master. It was only when Eli realised who was calling his servant and explained to Samuel who God was and that it was God who was calling him that Samuel finally got God's message. He willingly accepted the task given to him, even if he was somewhat reluctant to pass it on to Eli. If Samuel had not been introduced to God by Eli, he would not have received God's message, accepted the tasks he was given to do. We would have had the legacy of the teaching of Samuel the prophet. Now, to my mind, there doesn't seem to be any difference between the work of the Old Testament prophets and the early Celtic missionaries. They all devoted themselves to spreading and teaching the word of God. They were not deterred by opposition or rejection. They didn't know where their journey would take them, but they knew they were called to serve God. In our second reading, that from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, he starts reminding us that we are all called to serve God, and we should strive to maintain the unity of the Spirit. He goes on to tell us that Christ gave us all gifts, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. And these gifts were given to us to enable us to equip us for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, and to all come to know and share in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's a very broad task given to each and every one of us. It sounds very much like the basic job description of an early Celtic missionary. Of course, we need our own detailed task list. For that, we have to make space in our cluttered minds to hear the voice of God calling, so that we can respond just as Samuel did. But what about those who don't know God? You know, those like the young Samuel. Well, they need their own Eli to introduce them to God. That's where the pioneer ministers come in. They're like those early missionaries, stepping into the unknown, introducing the word of God to those who have yet to meet him. To undertake that task, they need our support, physical help if that is your calling, but certainly the help of our prayers. But no matter how onerous, how daunting the task, we, like the Celtic missionaries before us, must do so cheerfully, be constant in praising the Lord. There's a story told that as the monks accompanying Saints Columba and Mungo were approaching each other on their way to the meeting, they sang psalms for each other. Perhaps Night Psalm was one of the songs they sang. As the Bishop of Coventry writes, "The whole creation is summoned to praise God's glory and proclaim God's power. We sing the song of salvation, the song of a people transformed by the beauty of God's holiness. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell out his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples.